Hey! Wow, that was loud. Hi! Didn't mean to scare you, scared me too. So, I've never actually been on like a real theater stage like this before. This is like pretty cool. It's got like the old wood planks and everything. I can like slide. Oh, not really. I guess I need some sand. So I'm not actually going to tap dance for you today. I'm actually going to walk through some more advanced features or customizations and things like that we can do to light switch. So I'm hoping everybody was in my intro talk. Who was not in the introduction talk? Oh, okay. That's all right. I will kind of give a brief overview of the app we built, because we're going to take that app we built in the intro talk and we're going to continue on building some stuff, okay? So of those people that were not in my talk, do you at least know what light switch is? Yes, only one person. Who doesn't know what light switch is? Two people. Why are you here? This is like an intermediate talk. Prerequisite was 2 hours ago. No, I'm kidding. All right, I will go into I'll kind of review for the two people back there a little bit about what light switch is, okay? But this is more beyond the basics, beyond what I showed in the intro talk. Since everybody else was in that one, I'll go quickly. So, for the two people in the back, light switch. The reason why we created light switch in the first place, why? Well, we did some research, and we found out that not just developers are building applications. People who tend to be kind of savvy with code, but don't necessarily get paid at all to write code, also write business applications. You find a lot of this style of applications probably use Access is used for, and Excel. People, you tend to use the Office suite of products, SharePoint, those sorts of things. Okay, so a lot of times, though, these applications, they become mission critical or important to the business, and they need to scale, and then we have to come in as a professional developer and rewrite the whole thing, right? Usually. Okay, so light switch is positioned between the information worker, because it's not really an information worker, it's more like somebody who can write some code, like your VBA type of guys, and position between Visual Studio Ultimate and Professional Edition, which are total professional developer tools that can build. You can build anything you want with Visual Studio. Okay, so I work for Visual Studio, so I'm very happy that we have a lot of additions to fit everybody's needs. Okay, I actually am on the Light Switch team, though. So we kind of found this sweet spot between enterprise and heavy-duty Ultimate Pro users as well as Office Suite. Okay, so this... If we didn't overlap either of these products, though, we'd end up with two gaps. So you'll see some overlap. We also find that, you know, as professional developers, we need to build applications quickly. A lot of times we're too bogged down with mission-critical or enterprise-level applications that we're working on. We don't have time to build the applications that are probably needed for the departmental-level folks to be productive. Or for, you know, small, medium businesses just can't afford developers these days. They're just too expensive. Okay, so a lot of developers want to build business applications quickly as well. So light switch is the simplest way to build these business applications for the desktop and the cloud. And when I say business applications, I mean data-centric, screens over data type of applications. Okay, all right, I did all those slides earlier, and that's your intro to light switch. Okay, that's what light switch is. So the development experience, start with data, create some screens, start writing business logic, customize the screen layouts, define queries to pull the data into the application. Okay, this is sort of like your development experience. Extend. We're going to actually focus more on the extending part today. We're going to create custom Silverlight control. We're going to integrate with custom data sources, with SharePoint. I'm going to start to show you a little bit about what light switch can do, you know, the APIs that you can get at, the framework that you can get at, and we're going to talk a little bit about the architecture as well. Okay, so I did this slide earlier too. It does take an iterative approach to development. Okay, you start with your data, add a data source, connect to data, or create data. Okay, describe the relationships between that data, add screens, F5. Click the design screen at the top, customize that screen how you want it while it's running. Okay, so that's the iterative approach to designing the screens. Okay, so you're not always hitting F5 when you're just doing screen design. Okay? I went through that quickly because I did a lot of that in the first session. All right, this is new. This is the architecture that I kept glossing over in the first session. I want to talk about the architecture now. Who in this room does not get paid to write code? Does something else? Okay, a couple people? All right, so everybody else in this room gets paid to write C# and VB code every day, right? Yes. Okay, so you guys care about the architecture, I'm assuming. I'm assuming most of you at Dev Days actually are professional developers that do get paid to write code, and I think I'm right. So, but a couple folks aren't, so bear with me. The architecture is a N-tier architecture, okay? When you're building a light switch application, you are building a Silverlight client, okay? A ASP.NET middle tier, RIA services, okay? Using Entity Framework 4 to connect to your data access layer, okay? So we have this concept of what's called a data workspace, and we're going to get into some of that. The data workspace is on a screen. It's all the data that you're working with inside of a screen or in the application itself. It uses RIA services to connect to the middle tier. And what it does is it serializes this data workspace to the middle tier. So when you write code in LightSwitch, you don't really know or care where you're writing the code. It's running in those appropriate places, okay? So we'll take a look at what the file view looks like of a LightSwitch application, and you'll see all these projects, and it'll start to make sense. So the middle tier is running ASP.NET 4, okay, your IIS 7, 6 or 7, actually. Your data access can be, you know, SQL Server, Azure, SQL Azure, databases, SharePoint. I'll connect to SharePoint. I'm running SharePoint on this box. Or other ... mean you can create your own RIA services, and I'll show an example of that as well. So the key messaging here is we did not invent a new framework or a new thing inside of the .NET framework. It's not anything new. It's basically using proven patterns and technologies you're already probably using today to build applications. It's using Silverlight, RIA services, Entity Framework 4. Okay? We didn't reinvent the wheel. We did not invent another data access layer. Yay! Okay, we have too many. Okay. All right, so we just made the decisions about the plumbing for you. Now, LightSwitch has, in the introductory session, I actually had just Visual Studio LightSwitch installed. It was very simplified designer, and all you can build is LightSwitch applications. So the LightSwitch, Visual Studio LightSwitch edition, is basically you're creating screens, queries, entities, the business logic, the application itself. If you have Visual Studio Pro, Premium, or Ultimate installed, and you install LightSwitch, LightSwitch becomes a set of templates and designers in Visual Studio. So you're never running them side by side. They're integrated. LightSwitch is Visual Studio. Okay. At this point, though, you can start writing custom controls because you have access to Silverlight class library projects, right? You could start defining what's called extensions, and I'll build some extensions tomorrow in tomorrow's talk, but we'll consume some in this one. All right, so you have, and then you can create all these types of extensions for a LightSwitch developer, and then you can give it to them through the VS Gallery, right? You can create a V6 package, you know, the Visual Studio Extensibility package. You can create one of those, and then a LightSwitch developer can then consume it in their application. Okay, so there's a whole like potential for a huge ecosystem here. We're actually working with partners right now to create a bunch of controls and themes and all sorts of stuff that you'll be able to just consume inside of LightSwitch. And you too, as a professional developer, can customize LightSwitch as well. There's a couple levels of extensibility, and I'll kind of go through what those are in a little bit. So custom data sources is one of them. So if you have any Entity Framework 4 provider, that'll go fine. That includes SQL Server. Okay, Oracle has one. SharePoint, we can connect to SharePoint out of the box. It actually uses SharePoint's OData services to connect to the list data that SharePoint 2010 exposes. SQL Azure databases. You can also deploy your applications into Azure, but if you already have a SQL Azure database running, you can connect to it. Or any WCF RIA service, okay, a domain service. So you guys familiar with RIA services? Yeah, a couple of you. Okay, so you just need to, like, say you have an enterprise service, you would just need to wrap that service with a RIA service, and you would be able to consume it like any other data source inside of Lightswitch. The other side of the coin here is UI. Okay, custom controls and UI. So we realize that, you know, sometimes you just don't like the controls in Lightswitch out of the box, or they just don't have the functionality that you want. You want to extend just a control. You want to create a control. So we realize that as a Silverlight developer, you can create your own controls, and you can have Lightswitch use those controls on the screens. Okay? All right, so you just set up the data binding to the view model. Everything in Lightswitch on the screens themselves is actually an MVVM pattern, so that you are not ever working directly with the screen data when you're in Light, or the screen when you're in Lightswitch, the screen controls. You're working with the data, with the view model. And so that allows you, at, on the other side of the coin here, to create your own Silverlight controls and bind to that data model, or that view model. Okay, so let's get out of slides, because I like doing all the slides first and then never going back. What I want to do is I want to show you an application that's running that's a sample that we have as a sample. It's the course manager here. And this sample uses no customizations whatsoever. Nothing in this application is using a custom control or data source or anything that's not in the box. Okay, so this is all what you can do in the box. All right, so I've got like little common tasks. We've got images. We've got static text. None of this is bound to data here. I could just click search students. We've got, me in here. I've got this image editor. I don't like that one. Let's put this one in. That's cooler. I was actually right under the Golden Gate Bridge right there. That was so awesome. Anyways, okay, so register course. Let's see, what do I got? Select a course. This is only showing courses that I'm not in. Okay, so this is a custom query. Cool. All right, we've got that. Refresh, export to Excel. Okay, all of this stuff is built in. Okay, I don't have to do any of this stuff myself. Users, roles, search the catalog. Okay, this, all of this stuff, let's see, anything else that's cool in here? Instructors, they have pictures too. They hear all of their courses. Okay, here are the students in those courses. Okay, those, that kind of stuff. All right, this is a nice application to kind of sink your teeth into and learn about all the stuff that you can just do inside of the box in Lightswitch, okay? And no customizations, nothing fancy at all going on in here except all these screens are manipulating data in different ways, okay? And there's a lot of cool, like, you know, queries in here and using link, you know? It's nothing that's too out of the ordinary, especially for you guys as professional developers. Now, the reason why I ran through that app is because I want you to know that you can still do a lot out of the box and not to just rush off and create all of your own Silverlight controls because you just want to build your own text box. Okay? You don't need to do that. All right? Lightswitch does all this stuff for you. And because this is a little more advanced session, what's happening behind the scenes here is I'm going to flip. So this is the Solution Explorer. We're in logical view all the time by default. We can flip over to file view. Now you can start seeing some of these projects. Okay, and these are the projects that I can see. If I click on show all, you can see here's the client generated and server generated projects. You're like, well, where are my screens, right? Well, here's all the user code. None of this is, there's no XAML in here. Okay, this is Silverlight, but there's no XAML. Why is there no XAML? Well, there's this thing called a light switch. Yeah, great. I love that. Hold on. Let's see. No. It's a reference file. Hold on a second. Where the heck is it? Okay, it's called an LSML file because it's a... Here, I'll show you where it is. Let's go to disk. I know why. It's probably because it's on my external drive here. All right, so let's go to this disk. Here. Here it is. Okay. All right, so the LSML file. Let's guess where it is. Yeah, data. No, it's not in that one. I know where it is. It's not in that one. It's in common. No, data. Yes, here it is. All right, data, that data one. I know I can't find that. This is LSML file. No. I didn't want you to do that.
It's a special markup language. Hold on. Dude, I wanted... Here, this. Thank you. Here we go. All right, here it is. Let's just show it in Notepad. All right, this is a light switch markup language. What is light switch? It is a development environment and application framework and runtime. And what you're doing when you're creating an application is you're describing the application to light switch. It is a model-based architecture. It uses a lot of MEF underneath the scenes. If you have a chance to go see Glenn Block, he's plugging light switch because we were one of its first customers. He's very excited. So what you're telling us is like, you know, what do the entities look like? What do the screens look like? Okay, what should the buttons do? Where are they hooked up? But you'll notice there's no XAML in here. That gives us the opportunity later to say, maybe you want a different type of UI. You don't want Silverlight. You want HTML5. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, that's not in version 1, people. Don't get excited or anything. But I'm just saying the way we architected light switches so that, you know, you could move with us into new technologies if you use light switch, okay? All right, so you know how you are, you know, building your own WinForms app, and well, shoot, now it's WPF. Shoot, now it's Silverlight. Then you got to keep modifying your apps, right? You got to keep rebuilding your UIs. In this case, we're giving you one choice right now, Silverlight, but the opportunity is there for us to give you more later. Okay, so when people like cry that there's no XAML in there, don't cry. Realize what you're doing is you're describing to this development environment your model, the model of what your application should be. Okay? All right, so what I'm going to do is this is Course Manager. I'm going to close Course Manager. And I'm going to open up Vision Clinic. And this is actually almost literally, I think I have a couple screen names differently, but this is literally where we left off in the first session. Okay? All right, so I have this little app that's just, you know, managing patients and their prescriptions. So I want to take and extend this a little bit. So the first thing I'm going to do is just kind of recap it and go a little bit into, what did I want to do? Patients entity. Okay, this is the entity designer. If you weren't in the intro session, this is underneath the hood entity framework, okay, but it's a simplified designer on top of that. Okay, so what I want to do is I want to add a business rule for Social Security number. I already had one in here from before that's checking, you know, regular expression to match the pattern. It's a pattern match. I'm raising an error if it doesn't match. And it's saying if it's not empty. But if it is empty, I want to add a warning. So let me go to common. So the validation framework allows you to not only to specify errors, but also specify warnings and information messages as well. And I'm going to add a property result, but you could add the error on the entity itself. The whole entity is invalid. So let's just do this. If you don't enter a SSN, then the patient cannot be billed. And that's kind of important, but sometimes you don't know the SSN, and sometimes people don't have one in the U.S., you never know. Okay, so, the only thing I need to do is specify what type. Is it error, information, or warning? I'm going to make this a warning, okay? It's a warning. All right, so let's run the app. I'll kind of do a little overview of what the screens we have going on here, and let's test our business rule. Now what's happening here is, now you kind of saw the architecture a little bit, so you know there's a client piece, you know there's a server piece. Where did we really write this code? We wrote it in the common. Let's see, let me go to Solution Explorer, in the common project here. File view, see common, user code, patient. Okay, there it is, it's open. There it is right there. The common project is used both on the server and the client, okay, and it's managing that for you. So what's happening is it's validating on the client first. It's the same exact code that's running on the client first. Once you hit save, then it runs again on the server. The server calls this common DLL. This is where you're writing code that belongs on both sides of the fence, okay? All right, so let's go back to our app. Go ahead and enter me. And if I go ahead and say I make it invalid, right? That's not the right format. Okay, I still get the error. Okay, if I remove the whole thing, Now I get this kind of warning here, right? If you don't enter SSN, the patient cannot build. It's in black. It's got a warning symbol. You also get the, you know, the summary up here, and you, when you're not looking at the screen, you get a little indicator on the tab, okay? So that's kind of cool. So let me enter it back. All right, save. Okay, so validation framework is fairly robust, and it knows when to call your rules. Now, you can get at, in the validation, and any business rules, actually, that you write, you can kind of get at more of the underlying framework. Okay, so let me just flip back to logical view. What I want to do is I want to intercept data on that pipeline. So I was looking at a PowerPoint slide that it doesn't exist anymore on the screen. So when I had the client and the server, I showed you the data workspaces on both. You can actually get at the saved pipeline and inject any kind of rules or workflow or whatever you need to do while the data is being transmitted and saved on the client. So what I'm going to do in this case, I'm just going to write a simple like audit trail on patient. So we want to capture the original and new values that people are, you know, making on the patient. So I'm going to add a new table. Okay, and I'll just call it patient change. And I'm going to need some properties. Let's see, what do we need? We're going to need changed by. That's the person who changed it. Changed by is a string. We're going to have, let's see, I'm trying to remember, original values. Okay. New values. Trying to remember, like, I have new values, yeah. A-L-U-E-S. Ah, I can't type. Here we go, string. What else is on an audit trail? Updated, right? The time it updated. And this is like a date time. Okay, updated, it's always going to be the time at which we inserted the record, right? And we just want to set that as the default. So if you have default values that you need to set, we just go into write code, and we can do patient change, that's the name of the entity, created. Okay, so this is called when the entity is created. All right, so in this case, I want to say me.updated equals now. Okay? So that will always just, you know, when we create an entity, it gets the defaults. And you can stick defaults in here with other properties as well. All right. That's the entity. Now I want to get at the pipeline, the saving of that. So go back to your entity. Actually, I need to insert this code in the patient's pipeline, not in the patient change. Patient change is just tracking the data. I want to get at the pipeline for the patient. So while the patient is inserting, updating, or deleting, I want to go ahead and then write a record into patient change. Now you'll see a lot of these methods here. Patients, deleting, deleted, deleting, inserted, inserting, updated, updating. Okay. What's happening here is this is your chance to intercept and get at what's happening on the wire. Okay. What's gonna go down in my database, right? The other thing you can do is what else? Validate. This is like the whole entire entity is validating. So I'm going to go into, inserted. Is that right? I actually have, and there's some permission checking that we had before. I actually have a snippet of code that I'm actually going to just stick in here so I don't have to type it all out. I think it's this one. Yeah. Yeah, here we go. And I'll walk through it. Okay. This is the audit trail code, right? Okay. So, hold on a second. I just want to make sure I don't screw this up. Yeah. So this is the updating, not the inserted. Just the updating. I'm just going to do it for... I'm actually just going to do it for changing. Updating. Actually, this is easier. We go here. You can never find it in that list. Just do this. Patients updating. Here we go. All right. So, patient changes. Oh. Is not a... okay. I know exactly what I did wrong here. Just bear with me for 1 second. So this code, okay, here is where we're getting at, dynamically getting at the properties, all of the properties of the entity. In my case, this entity is patient, okay? The entity details, okay? So when you're in LightSwitch, programming in LightSwitch, you always see these common properties off your entity. This is, you know, the properties of my patient, right? there also, though, is on the all, okay? If you're in C sharp, you'll actually see all of this until you start typing this. Details. Okay. There's a details property. It's kind of hidden. It's kind of like out of your face. This allows you to start drilling into the underlying framework, really, the entity framework, the entity state, the original and new values, that sort of stuff. So we kind of progressively disclose the details of the underlying framework to you. Okay? So I kind of screwed up my code. Let me back up a little bit here. Okay. So in this case, I'm getting all the properties of the type storage, meaning no computed properties. Okay, because I just want to record what the storage properties are. And those storage properties have original and current values. Okay, and I'm basically writing to this change. Now, the reason why I have an error here is because I just forgot one step. And you're probably laughing at me because I created a patient changes table, but I didn't actually relate it to the patient. Okay, so let's create a relation. It's the other way around. So hold on. Patient. It's the other way around. Patient changes. Here we go. Relationship. To patient. Patient has many changes, right? Okay. All right. So now that I've done that, we can go back and you'll see that everything is happy. Okay. So now I have a collection. Patient changes. Add a new row. All right. I was going to do it for inserting, updating, deleting, but in the interest of time, let's just do it for updating. All right. So now we need to create a screen. Let's just create a quick screen. So this is like getting at the pipeline. So let's add a quick screen to like see. We'll make it a search screen to see all the patient changes in the system. And if all goes right, F5, we'll make a change to patient and then we'll see the changes in our change log, basically. All right, so let's go in and make a change here. Sweet 240, I don't know, something like that. Okay, so that looked like nothing happened, but we'll go into the patient changes, and now we see test user is my test login while I'm debugging. Here's the original values, there's the new, okay? And there's, you know, the patient. All right, so that's just one way to get at the pipeline and some of the underlying framework. You're totally not restricted. I want to try to point out that this isn't like a glass ceiling here, okay? Yeah, I'm just creating a string builder, exactly. Okay, so, you know, you could do it another way, though. You could add new rows if you want each change to have its own row. I just chose to put one row for all the changes, okay? All right, so that's an audit trail. Let's get at some code. I'm trying to get beyond the basics. I wrote some queries before. We have products by category and we have sorted products. These are queries that I just used the designer to create. Let's create another query. This time I have my data. For those of you who were not in the first session, my data model, real quick, is products have what's called product rebates, okay? So meaning discounts that apply on the product. Okay, what I want to do is I want to create a query that only pulls products that have rebates, okay? Now, if we look at the designer here, so we'll call it products with rebates. Okay, so you notice, I'm like, okay, add a filter, okay, it's probably a single, and I go, I can't get at the product rebates from the designer, right? It's like the designer would kind of get unwieldy. It would have like all your whole data model in this picker. This is supposed to be simplified, okay? But as a pro developer, we're never without our handy dandy link statements. So we can go into what's called the pre-process query method, okay? And you'll notice that this is your query, okay? So if we can mix and match too, like I could define a filter and a sort and whatever in the designer, and then from here add on additional stuff. So that's what's coming through is the query. Okay. So in this case, I just need to return the query to how I want, filter it a little bit more. Okay. I'm just going to filter it where, let's see, what is it from? Help me out, people. From P in, oh, that's R. What is it? Rebates? From P. In query, it's products, right? where P dot, now I can get at the product rebates right here, dot any, right? Any. All right, there it is. Okay, so any product rebates exist, return those. If they don't show me the product. All right, so now let's create a screen. And actually, you know what? I want this sorted, though. And I mentioned this is based just on the field, on the table entity set itself, but I actually want to sort it. I have a sorted product, so it's just sorting by name. So you can compose the queries, and you can mix and match code and designer. Okay, that way you can create a base set of queries and then have everybody inherit from that kind of, or compose it, okay, part of it. All right, so let's go ahead and add a screen. Okay, so let's do list in details, and this time we'll say products with rebates. Go ahead and include the rebates, so you know I'm not a liar. Okay, so let's go ahead and, that looks good. Let's go ahead and test this. All right, so let's go. Products with rebates, list detail. All right, that has rebates. That's got a rebate. That's got a rebate. Guess I'm right. There's about eight or nine products in here, okay? So this is how you can intercept or pre-process queries. And honestly, you're going to end up writing a heck of a lot of queries in a business application, right? I mean, really, it's a data-centric application, so you're going to end up really in queries a lot, okay? So it's good to make sure that you have, you know, the ability to extend them and to write your own code, okay? So that's the key there. That's the key message there. All right, what do we want to do now? Let's do a little bit more with screens. Let's do a screen workflow, okay? Because sometimes you move from one screen to the next, you need to pass a parameter, blah, blah, blah. Okay, keep users in the flow, right? So let's get some flow going. Let's add a new table, and I'm going to call this appointment. All right, so an appointment has a start time, and that's a date time, and it has an end time, probably. Date time. I think my phone is ringing, but that's all right. What else do we have? We have, what else? Notes, maybe? Okay. All right. Now, we're going to want to associate this or add a relationship to patient. All right, patient. Okay, so a patient can have many appointments. So now what I want to do is I want to, when I enter a new patient, I want to automatically open a new appointment screen with the patient selected, with the patient name already filled out on the appointment screen. Okay, now if I had just, I could create a create new appointment screen, but I'd have to pick the patient, you know, from a drop-down. But normally, when you come to a vision clinic and you're a new patient, you're probably going to have an appointment immediately, right? So I want to just create a little screen workflow. Okay, so what I'm going to do is we've got an appointment here. So I need to create, add a screen, new data screen. Okay, so this is our appointment screen. Okay, cool. What we're going to need to do is we're going to need to pass it a parameter, our patient ID. You'll notice that the patient right here is a drop-down, is an auto-complete list, right? Okay, it read the relationship, it knows that it needs it, but I want to fill it out. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a data item. I'm going to add a local property. I'm going to call this patient ID. All right, cool. All right, so this patient ID, I want to specify it as an optional parameter to the screen because I want to be able to open this screen, you know, and have the user fill out the patient and be able to open the screen, you know, at any time through the task list. But I also want to optionally provide a nice workflow for them from the appointment screen. So the idea here is this patient ID, we're going to mark it as a parameter, but it's not going to be required. Okay, that's the thing. All right, so this parameter, now what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to check to see if it's actually been fed into the screen, and then we can go ahead and fill out the patient. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into what's called the initialize data workspace. Okay, I think I have the insert key on. So initialize data workspace is probably the most important method on the screen. because it's where you have the chance to set up all your data, your parameters, get everything kind of going before anything executes to the database. Okay? So the second that initialized data workspace goes away, all your queries start to execute. Okay, so this is your chance to set them all up. What I'm doing here, because it's the new appointment screen, there is no query, right? There's no reason to go to the database to show a new screen. So all it's doing is just creating a new appointment here in memory. But what I want to do is I want to check if me.patientID has a value. Oh, hold on a second. I marked it not required, right? This build. It should show up. Unless I did it on the wrong property. You know, the other speaker that was here said that this stage has demo devils here, actually. So I'm not surprised if this isn't going to work. All right. Okay. So hold on a minute. Did I make it a... of course. That's what it is. Never mind. Okay, you're not looking at this. Yeah, see? I think he jinxed me. This is exactly what happened. Here, jinxed me. Okay, I'm going to mark it not required right here. You can do that here, too. All right. There we go. Thank you. Apparently, you know what? It's 5 o'clock Europe time, but it's sleepy time for Beth where she lives. That's why I'm going crazy. All right, so here we go. It isn't required, but it is a parameter, okay? And so let's go back over to our write code. Now I should see this. So, you know, you always know something's wrong when IntelliSense doesn't have something in the list, right? You're like, what happened? Okay, so if it has a value, then we just set appointment property here, patient, okay, equal to me, data workspace, application data. This is our application data where our patients are. You can see there's our application data in the data sources side over here. Now I can go ahead and execute patients, single or default, right? And I can go ahead and specify the ID, me.patientID. All right? So there's the data workspace. You can get at the data workspace and execute queries. Execute another query before I set up other ones, right? The ones that are on the screens are executing after this. You can start executing your own queries manually by getting at the data workspace, okay? All right, so now I need to call the screen, right? I need to pass it the ID. So we're going to do that from our create new patient screen. So I already had this one written. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to add a new button at the screen command bar level, okay? We'll add a new button. And I'll just call this new appointment. All right, cool. I could specify an image and all that stuff, but I won't do that. I won't bore you. Now all we need to do is, you can right click here and you can edit the execute code and the can execute code, or you can also click here, okay? All right, so I'm actually gonna need both execute and can execute. All right, first, execute. me.application. Now this is where we can get at all the screens. Show. These are all the names of the screens that we can call in code. So show create new appointment. Notice it has, a nullable integer. Okay, so we just need to say patient property ID. Alright. So now when I call it from this screen, it will automatically fill out on the next. Now I can't actually call this though until we save until we save the patient, okay, because it doesn't actually have an ID and this is a new screen, right? So I want to be able to say result, only enable the button if me.patientProperty.details. Remember the details? Okay, details, entity state, there it is, is not equal to, added. All right, let me wrap that in a nice expression here. Okay, cool. So, there's a bug here though. Does anybody see the bug? Here's the whole screen code. What's the bug? Nobody, I got you. Okay, what's happening when we click save? First of all, we're disabling the button, and then you click save, and we're closing the screen. So there's no chance for the person to ever click the button. That's kind of frustrating, isn't it? So here we go. Just don't close it. Don't need to show the default screen. Just leave it up. New screens, you can still edit through them. Okay, it's going to work fine. All right, this just is basically saying show the default detail screen if we had created one, which we did earlier. All right, now, if I don't have any more bugs, then I think this should work fine. So this is how we can get at some of the details of the data workspace, how we can execute queries, how we can get at the entity state, and how we can pass parameters. All right, let's go to new patient. Oh, I have caps lock on too. All right. There is a demo devil here. Okay. Minder, Joe. Let's just make him male. Okay. All right, that's good enough. All right, so see, it's disabled, right? Okay, so save. Oh, I had a warning. Never mind. That's okay. There's new patient or new appointment. So I can go ahead and click the screen, and now you see that the patient is filled out automatically. All right, cool. And I could save that too. All right, so that's kind of like your screen workflows, moving things back and forth. You can do any data can move back and forth between screens. All right, so Lightswitch is not a toy. It's a real development environment. Okay, so SharePoint as a data source. Any questions with parameters, passing parameters? I hope that answered a lot of your questions that you had earlier. Okay, all right, cool. So let's talk about SharePoint, because everybody loves SharePoint, right? It's like everybody loves Junior Mints and SharePoint. It's a Seinfeld reference. Sorry. Okay, so you guys get Seinfeld? All right, anyways. All right, so here's the thing. We've got two data sources, distinct data sources here. We've got one that we've created. This is our intrinsic application database. Okay, this is the things we're creating, all the entities. We're creating a SQL database here. We're also connecting to products and product rebates, which are actually in another SQL database that I have. Okay, I am relating them together because products are chosen on prescriptions. And the way that's indicated, I don't know if you can see this, is a dotted line. It's a dotted line between data sources that are distinct data sources. Referential integrity cannot be enforced, but we can enforce the relationship and pull down the related data. Okay? So I'm going to do the same thing, add a new data source, but I'm going to do it with SharePoint. And SharePoint, our old friend, or our new friend, I don't know. Okay. Who likes SharePoint? Only three people in the room like SharePoint. That's awesome. Because users love SharePoint. It's a multi-million dollar business for Microsoft. Tons of developers for SharePoint, right? Any SharePoint developers in the room? It's the same two people that hate SharePoint. Okay, awesome. And that's why. Okay. So I'm actually on the team that builds the SharePoint tools, too, for Visual Studio. So at any rate, I learned to like SharePoint, especially 2010. This is SharePoint 2010. I have some invoices stored in SharePoint. Okay, so this is like our patient's invoices. I have the patient name. Their social security number is being stored here. Okay, so what I want to do is first I'm going to copy this URL, and then I'm going to go back over here. I'm going to select SharePoint, and we're going to get at that address here. Now, what this is doing is it's using SharePoint 2010 OData. And no, is somebody not familiar with that term, OData? Okay. So OData is just it's a protocol. It's an extension of the Atom Pub protocol that allows you to create, retrieve, update, and delete data in a RESTful manner over URLs, basically. Okay, and it's a query, kind of querying language over the top of HTTP REST. It's actually pretty cool. I'm actually doing a talk at TechEd on it. It's really cool. I love it. What's cool about it is it's showing up in a lot of products, and SharePoint is one of them. And what it does is it exposes all of its list data as OData feeds, okay, as this, you know, these feeds of data that come through. And so, you know, here's the built-in announcements, calendar, here's invoices. That's not built-in. That's the one I want. That's my document library. But you've got all the information inside of SharePoint exposed to you through OData. All right, it automatically checked user information because it's related to invoices. So that's what it did. All right, so now I got this Contoso prescriptions data. That's my SharePoint data. And what I now want to do is I want to relate this to the patient. Okay, so now I can click patient. Now notice it's saying, okay, you have to pick a property on both ends of this so I know how to relate this thing. Okay. All right, so I'm going to select patient SSN in the invoice and SSN on the patient. Okay. Now let's set up this dotted line for us. All right. That means that, like I said, can't enforce the relationship referential integrity, excuse me, but it can relate the data together. All right, so now let's go ahead and create a new screen. I'm going to create a, what should I create? Listen details, that's good, create a detail screen. Okay, detail screen for patient, okay. I already have a detail screen, but let's call this patient detail with invoices. I just want to show you the screen creation process here. All right, cool. I want prescriptions. Sure, why not appointments? Why not invoices? Throw the whole thing. I don't want the audit trail on there, though. Okay? And go ahead. We'll use it as the default screen. I'm going to replace. I have a default screen in there. Let's replace it with this one. All right. It's a lot of data on there, right? Okay. Let's see what Lightswitch created for us. Did it create this huge screen that I got to scroll through all these data grids, or was it smart about its layout? Let's see what happens. Okay, so here's me. There's my social security number. I think that I am a match. There we go. Wow, it created a tab. How odd. Okay, there's our invoices, okay? And actually, we've got some status is a type there, okay? So you can wait for payment or new. Now, the reason why this is disabled, like not editable, is because by default, when you have two completely separate data sources coming into one screen, only one of them is editable. But you can enable the editing, okay? You just have to tell Lightswitch in which order do you want me to update these data sources. It doesn't know that by default. If it picks some arbitrary, you know, direction, it might not get it right. Okay? So you just need to specify the order in which you want to save these things, and then it'll enable. All right, so there's my invoices. I don't have any appointments, you know, but I've got one prescription. Okay? So I think that's kind of a pretty good layout choice, right? You could change this around, but it did pick tabs. So if you have more than one grid, you're gonna have more than one grid on a master detail, it'll start putting it in tabs. Okay, which is cool. I think it's cool. All right, so that's SharePoint. What about our own data source? I mentioned custom RIA service. All right, let's build one. Because I am in Visual Studio Pro edition here, because you'll see I mentioned earlier that there was not a lot of crap on the menus in Lightswitch. Look, I've got crap again. Look, awesome. It's all my crap. Look at that. Wow. Okay, so this is Visual Studio Professional edition, and I have Lightswitch installed inside of it. So what I'm going to do is, and I've got access to the solution, right? So you can say, add a new project. And I've got the whole list of templates, right? I've got everything I ever wanted here. So let's go ahead and create a RIA service. And, you know, of course, I don't know where it is. So there it is. Okay. I love that search feature. Don't you guys love that? Oh, so nice. Okay, so I'm going to create a WCF RIA services class library. All right, and what we're going to need to do is we're going to need to add a new item. And I don't know where this one is either, but domain service class. That's exactly what I wanted. All right, so I'm going to create a domain service. Okay, we're going to enable client access. Cool. We don't need to expose a no data SharePoint in our case. Okay, so I'm not going to get into the depths of RIA services because, honestly, I don't know the depths of RIA services. But the whole idea here is we're going to create our own class of data. It could be a database that's coming from. It could be some sort of enterprise service. It could be a file system. It's up to you to write your own data access. This isn't the case where we're customizing, right? So you're in this case, the RIA service, I'm just going to keep it fairly simple. Okay, I'm going to go, hold on. That was the new screen. I did all that myself. So proud. Okay, here. I remembered all that code by myself. All right, so here we go. I think I just replaced this. Okay. So what we got here is this thing called, I called it custom patient so it wouldn't conflict with our patient, okay? It's just got three properties on it. We have to indicate what is the key. The patient ID is the key in this case. I just have last name and first name. All right, I have three patients defined. Now you can, this data source could, like I said, could come from anywhere, but I'm just creating an in-memory list. And the only thing I'm allowing, because it's in memory, I'm not saving anything, the only thing I'm specifying as the method here is the get. Okay, so LightSwitch will read this RIA service and go, oh, you can't update, insert, or delete. Let's see what the screens look like. Okay. All right, so now I've got this, you know, RIA service. That's cool. So let's go ahead and rebuild it. So we've got access to it. Okay, now we can go down, and this time what I'll do is add yet another data source, okay? Add a data source, and this time I'm going to say RIA service. Okay, so this is a beta 2, this could take a teeny little time, just this part. It is responding. It's just thinking really, really hard. Okay, and then it goes away, but it's actually okay. It's here. Hold on. It's there. Okay, it came back. All right. It was just thinking really hard and disappeared. Okay, so there we go. We got. I need to add a reference to my library. Okay, and then it has to think really hard again. See. I can tell that it's thinking when it's not responding. It's actually doing something. It's Visual Studio's not responding. It's LightSwitch is thinking. All right, here it is, our domain service. We'll get that cleaned up. All right, so what are the entities? There, read the RIA service. I just have one entity defined, that custom patient. Now, what is this saying? Because the RIA service is in the same project as LightSwitch, what's cool about this is LightSwitch will just suck in that assembly and host it for you when you deploy LightSwitch, the application itself. So you actually don't need to deploy this particular RIA service separately than LightSwitch. You don't have to host it in a separate process or web. Now you can, if you're already running a RIA service, then you wouldn't have it in your solution. Don't put it in your solution. Okay, if it's in the solution, LightSwitch just assumes, oh, you want me to host this. Okay, so that's what it's saying. And it's going to enable client access to it, meaning that it's going to expose it, right, in the web app. Okay. So it's not a scary warning. It's a nice warning. Okay, so here's my custom patient. Let's go ahead and create a screen. Actually, one thing I want to do is you'll notice that it's an external data source. You can't modify the schemas of external data sources through LightSwitch. You can update them. Okay, when you make changes to your external data source, if it's external like SQL Server or whatever, you can pull in the updates, not a problem. But you also can create computed properties as well. So I'm going to just create a computed property called full name on this particular guy. So it allows you to do that. So, and this is just in the model. It's not actually changing the RIA service at all. Okay, so result equals me dot last name plus here, space, me dot first. All right, cool. Now let's create a screen for it. All right, what kind of screen? List and details is good. Let's do that one. List them all out. Okay, so where is it? Here it is. Domain service one data custom patients. Looks good. Let's do that. All right. Let's see what we get. Now remember, I didn't enable updates, inserts, or deletes on the RIA service. Okay, here's custom patient list detail. You'll notice that I can't click any of these buttons, right? They're all disabled, as they should be, okay? So LightSwitch is smart to figure that all out, okay? It's not editable either. They're all disabled. See these? I can't type in here, okay? All right? That's your RIA service. So if you know RIA services, you're not blocked by using LightSwitch as the front end to those RIA services, okay? So that's another area of customization, right? What about UI? I did data sources,
data, so boring. Let's do some UI, some beautiful UI. Okay, what if I really don't like this list box, for instance? Let's create our own. Let's create our own list box and bind it to this data. It's actually really easy to do in Lightswitch. Unfortunately, I'm not the best at Silverlight and designing pretty things, so our list box may not be too exciting, but let's create one. Let's add a new project. This time, I will select Silverlight, and we'll just create a Silverlight class library, Silverlight 4. Okay, and let's add a new item. Now, you could, you know, you Silverlight gurus can create, you know, crazy Silverlight controls. I'm just going to add a user control for the easeability factor. It's easier for me. Okay. What I'm going to do, so I just love drag and drop. Huh? I actually do have a toolbox in here somewhere, right? Tools. Woo! Here's the toolbox. Okay, so, awesome. I don't really do XAML. You can use Blend, though. I hear it's really cool. Wow, look at that toolbox. Awesome. There it is. Coming. Okay, here we go. What did I want? I wanted a list box, right? Okay. I'm sure it has, you know, the XAML says list box somewhere. There it is. Okay. You know, and now that I got this going, I actually don't even need margins. I just want a name for it. And, yeah, we can just do that. I actually just wanted to get it over here so I can try and make it look pretty. We don't even need the height. Let's make it fill up the whole thing. In user control, we could have a button or whatever we wanted on there. But let's do that, and let's kind of style it a little bit. So what is it? Brushes. Background is white. That's boring. Hold on. White. Oh, here we go. There we go. Let's do a really cool gradient. No, I don't like that color. I like purple. I love purple. Oh, but black, that's not going to be good. We're not going to be able to see anything on that. Hold on. Yeah, that looks good. So we'll see, you know, light switch, there's no purple in it, so we'll know where my list box is, right? Okay, so, and actually, I really like this little feature here. We can extract a value to a resource, put it inside the file as a resource. All right, there you go. Okay, cool. Now I've properly designed my list box. Now the one thing we're going to need to do is set up the binding, okay? So what I want to do is bind this, so we got to, let's see, I always love item, let's see, item source, right? I-T-E-M's source, right? So we're going to bind this to binding, cool. I like the IntelliSense now, it's a lot better. Okay, so we're going to need a screen. The path is going to be screen dot custom patients. Okay? All right, how do I know that? That's right. Well, the default is path, right? So it'll work. Okay, so the reason why I know this, I'm in Visual Studio, hold on. The reason why I know this, so we go back to our patients. P's are pretty bad on this mic. Okay, sorry. Patients with custom patients list detail. There it is right there. That's the collection, custom patients. Okay, so I'm creating this particular control for this particular screen. Now you can create controls that will bind to any collection in the screen, okay? And I'll show you how you can set that when you put the control on this screen. But for our case, let's just custom patients, all right? Oops, of course, I'm in Visual Studio. I keep forgetting. Here we go. Go back up here. Go back here. All right, so now I need to also set item source, and now I need to do the selected item, because what I want to happen is I want the grids to be in sync, or the lists to be in sync. So as I move the light switch list, I want this list to synchronize. So the selected item now is going to be binding, okay, and this time it's screen, oops, C-R-E-E-N dot custom, same thing. Oh, you're right, I did do that. I thought you guys were yelling at me about the path. Okay, scream. Oh, jeez. Is that Dutch for scream? Okay. All right, here we go. I told you, it's bedtime. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning to me. I feel it. I really feel it. Okay, custom. Oh, man.
Okay, custom patients dot selected item. All right. Okay, so that's the binding we want. We also want to set it, actually, the mode to be two-way. Okay, so, oops, mode equal to two-way. All right. All right, sweet. Okay, let's build that now. Everything look okay now? You guys laughing at me again? It's that devil. The demo devil is around here somewhere. I haven't had anything totally blow up yet, I guess. Just my brain. Okay. That's all right. Okay, cool. Thank you for the info. Now we'll go back to our custom patient list detail. Now what do I want to do? I want to add this thing. Let's see. Here's our patient details. Here's the list itself here. That list. Let's go ahead and add a new custom control. Actually, I want to say new group first. And we'll go ahead and add a new custom control. Okay, so let's add a reference to my project Silverlight control. There's where you could specify the property, you know, like screen dot. If you had more things you wanted to bind into, you wanted to drill into it, here is where you would do it. Okay, there's custom patients right there if you wanted to specify it more generically. Okay, so I think that works. Screen content, everything looks good. Pretty good. I think it's good. All right. If not, if it doesn't work, we'll fix it. That's how I roll. If I forgot a step, I'll hit myself, drink some Red Bull but next time. And tomorrow's session will be better. It's in the morning because I'll be up all night. I'll be tired by noon. Okay. Here we go. Custom patient list detail. Hey, there it is down there. Look at that. As I move it. So teeny, though. It's teeny tiny little thing. Okay, let's fix that. Go over here. Let's see, what does it say? Screen content? Is it display name? No, we don't need to even display that. None. And then I'm going to stretch this thing. Shoop, shoop. I'm going to save. All right, there we go. What do you think? It's pretty. All right, cool. And, you know, it's two-way, so I can do it up here, too. All right. So that is... That's custom controls. You know, you can get way more exotic than me. Okay. All right, cool. Let's do something else that's fun. Now that's a custom control, and that's just maybe, you know, you just want to customize light switch a little bit for your particular application, this instance of this application. What if you want to create an extension? Okay, I'll show you how to do that tomorrow morning. Let's use an extension, though. Okay? Let me show you what an extension is. Okay. All right, it's you guys, who doesn't know what a Visual Studio extension is? Visual Studio extensibility. Good, because you guys probably go in through the extension manager. Okay, you go up here. Where is it? Extension manager. Okay, and you go up and you go to the online gallery, and there's thousands of things to install into Visual Studio, right? Okay, although I'm not sure if my internet connection is slow or not, but there it is. Okay, so we got thousands of things in here, right? Well, what are the ones I have installed now? Let's see. There's the online guide, installed. Okay, you'll notice that I actually have a bunch of light switch extensions installed. Light switch extensions are just Visual Studio extensions. They're specific for light switch, but they're installed and created just like a regular V6 package. Now, I've got this one called a Bing Map Control. You can get this one, too. It's not this crazy, you know, thing I built in the middle of the night. It actually, someone else built in the middle of the night and then released it in the training kit. So the light switch training kit is released by DPE. Yes, I don't know why that's a security problem. And if you go to advanced features, you can run through this lab, okay? Light switch control extensions. The Bing map control is in that lab, okay? The code is there for you, okay? There's a V6 package, you double click on that, it's now inside of Visual Studio. Okay, so once you restart Visual Studio, you'll see your extensions. And so there, I've got it. So now once I have the extensions in Visual Studio, I just need to enable it in my Vision Clinic project here. So I've got going to go to Properties, and you'll see all the loaded extensions that are compatible with Light Switch listed here. I've got a lot of them. Oh, I even have a theme. Cool. I'm going to enable the Bing Map control. So what I want to do is I want to display the patient's address on the screen. okay, on our regular patient's screen. Okay, so let's go to his screen. What did I call it? Patient detail with invoice. Actually, let's make it the patient detail again. I'm going to go back into the patient entity because I changed the startup, the default screen. So here's our patient. The default screen, I want to put it back at patient detail. Okay, that will open when I click on the link for the customer or for the patient. Okay, so patient detail. There's a little more room on this thing. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to move this up here. Actually, let's move the address onto this column. Oops. Yeah, hold on. There we go. Into there. Dude. There we go. State. Here, stick the address there and postal code. Okay, now I've got, and full name, why not? Let's put full name right here. Now I've got room for our Bing map. So I'm just going to add, I'm going to add, and you'll notice you can put a new group in here. Okay, and I can change this to, where am I doing? Actually, no. Sorry. Okay, I can select, for instance, address. Okay, let's select the address. There we go. The Bing map control is an extension that looks at string types. Okay, and now it's just put itself, it's injected itself right here in this, you know, drop down. Okay, because it's an extension. All right, what I kind of was fiddling with though is really we need address, city, state, postal code to send to this Bing map control, not just the address because it won't know what, you know, state we're in or anything. So what I'm going to do real quick is I'm just going to add a calculated property or a calculated field here, computed field. Computed property, just called full address, okay. Yeah, I should have done that first, but that's all right. Okay, and we'll just edit the method. And I actually have a quickie code here. Here, main address. Okay, there we go. So I'm just going to stick it in a string. Okay, and now I can go back over to the screen. Oh, not that screen. This screen, dude. This screen. We say dude a lot in California. Dude. Do you say dude a lot? Okay, I say dude a lot. And like. Okay. All right. So that's not address though. Delete that. I want full address now. There it is, right here. Okay. And now I'm going to make this a Bing map control. All right, I made that more difficult than it really is, but it's pretty easy. All right, so let's go ahead. I just needed to add a property, bind that property to the Bing map. You could have bound my name to the Bing map control, but then it wouldn't have actually showed the map, so I think that's kind of like the point. Okay, so actually the search is fine, and do I have an address specified? Let's make sure. Sure, 123 Main Street. In Redmond. It's not actually a real address, but we'll see. Maybe it is. Okay, here we go. Still doesn't work. Forgot one thing. There it came back through. Invalid credentials, right? One thing I did forget to do, and actually the step-by-step instructions are in the training kit. The one thing that I forgot to do is I need to specify a key, okay? Bing Maps isn't just going to let you use Bing Maps for free. It will let you use it for free after you register. So you have to register. It wants to know who's using the Bing Maps. So you got to just stick a key in there. So instead of going online and doing it, I actually have it right here. All right, so I just forgot this little piece. That's hopefully all I forgot. All right, so now I got the key. That's my key. If you could memorize that, you can have it. It's all yours. All right, let's try this again. Alrighty. Hey there. Zooming in. And it actually does exist. That is Main Street in Mansfield. Okay? But that is Washington. This is Washington, right? Yes. That's Washington. Okay, cool. Alright, so that's how you can consume an extension. Now, I could have created an extension out of my really cool purple list box and given it to you. Because, you know you want it, right? You know you want it. Okay. All right. So, but this is an example of a productive control. Okay. So, and that one is, like I said, included in the training kit. All right. I'm going to show a lot more extensions tomorrow because we're going to build some too. All right. So, last but not least, there was one last thing that people asked me about in the intro talk. They didn't like the look and feel of my application at all. Well, you suck, but okay, I get it. What I can do, I've got a couple shells. Which one am I going to show? Maybe this one. What you can do is you can also, extensions can also be completely different shells. Okay, because I mentioned we're using model MVVM, model view view model, right, inside of those, on those screens, and you're never actually manipulating the screen controls themselves, that gives you the ability, or, you know, an extension provider, the ability to totally change the look and feel of the app. So let's go ahead and enable the mock shell. Now, this mock shell was actually created by one of our developers, but it's actually pretty cool. So I'm going to go, oops, sorry. Enable the extension, go to general properties, and now you'll see the mock shell, okay, and blue theme. Okay, it doesn't have a theme. You can create a theme and a shell at the same time. All right, so I'm just going to use this. All right, let's see what we got here. All right, ready? You want to see what this thing looks like? It's going to look different. I don't know if it's going to look better, but it's going to look different. You can decide. Okay. There's no menu, there's no nothing. There's these little balls down here at the bottom. Sweet, home, what's that? Open, oh, cool, here's all my screens. Weird, funky. All right, I'll go and search patients. Now here's the save button here, the refresh down here, the design screen down here. This is weird. Okay, I'm digging it. It's flowing, I got it. What's this? Active screens. Oh, that's kind of cool. All right, we can jump back and forth between. Oh, that kind of flew from the side. Okay, so this is just an example of a, you know, it's a simple, very simple shell. Okay, it's not anything crazy. Okay, but it is, you know, I didn't have to change any code whatsoever, right? You know, everything is just flowing like it did before. Okay, what do you think? You guys like it? You can have this one if you really want it. But, okay, all right. Okay, so. So the one last thing, so that's all I got for demos. So let's go back to the slides because there is, you know, I'm going to give you the same slide I gave you in the last talk. And that is, if you don't have it yet, please download and install LightSwitch. The only URL you have to remember is msdn.com/LightSwitch. You can get the training kit there, how do I videos, all the content that you need to learn LightSwitch, as well as download the beta, read our blogs. Get at the forums. Ask questions in the forums. We have very active forums. A lot of people are using LightSwitch. And Beta 2 has a go-live license, meaning that you can start writing production applications with Beta 2. Okay, cool? Now, tomorrow I'm going to show how we can actually write extensions, and I'm going to go through a super cool app that does all sorts of cool stuff with Calm and Office and writes reports and all sorts of stuff. So I'm just keep teasing you with better and better and better and better, better sessions. So come back. All right? Thanks, and enjoy LightSwitch. Come on up. Oh, sorry.